From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Healthy Homecast. Healthy Homecast is created and operated by Healthy Painting and HealthyPainting.com. Healthy Homecast is your source for information, news, and events that focus on environmental responsibility, environmental consciousness, and eco-related products and practices. Find us on the web at www.healthyhomecast.com. And now your host, Daryl Whalen.
Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of Healthy Homecast. Tony and I are here with Scott Appert and Caroline Bears from BioHealthy Homes, BH2. We will be talking about, amongst other things, healthy homes, which is perfect since we're called Healthy Homecast. Before we begin, here are some upcoming events that are happening in and around our area. Take it away, Tony. It's time for some healthy news, information, and events that are happening throughout the Puget Sound area. Sponsored by PigeonPointPC.com.
Alrighty, and welcome to the news. First up, Sustainable Seattle presents the Rain Garden Planting Party at the El Centro de la Raza, located at 2524 16th Avenue South on Beacon Hill. This is taking place Sunday, August 28th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Help Puget Sound build sustainable communities, support local business organizations, and learn about building rain gardens, and most of all, have fun. Make sure you bring yourself, shovel, gloves if you have them, water, and your kids. For more information, contact Amy Waterman at amy@sustainableseattle.org. Next up is the Sustainable West Seattle at the Farmer's Market. Visit the Sustainable West Seattle booth at the West Seattle Farmers Market. We'll be here through the summer season. On the third Sunday, we will be having demonstrations at our tent. This is going to be taking place September 4th, 2011, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're here to help you with your questions about being more sustainable, about being a bit more green, and we're here to take your leftover underused tools for the West Seattle Tool Library. We also have the latest information on many projects Sustainable West Seattle members are involved with, including permaculture and the Sustainable Film Series. Concerned about earthquakes? We'll have information on the emergency preparedness here in West Seattle, as well as other community info from partners like Cool Mom. We'll be tabling at the Farmers Market and working with the Neighborhood Farmers Market Alliance folks to keep nonprofit and green present in the market area. And last but not least is a bit of news. This is the Help Community Harvest of Southwest Seattle, Glean Fruit. Please join as they gear up for the summer's fruit tree harvest cycle. Since 2007, Community Harvest has been mobilizing volunteers to make use of abundance growing in our own backyards. Many local residents have highly productive fruit trees yet are unable to deal with the bounty of their trees. Instead of allowing this fruit to go to waste, they harvest it for distribution to our local food banks so they too can enjoy fresh local fruit. CHOSS so far has harvested and distributed over 13,500 pounds of local fruit, thanks to a very generous community. For more information, visit www.gleanit.org/tree-donor-form/html-and. That is the news, and now back to the podcast.
Please feel free to send any news, information, and events that focus on environmental consciousness and responsibility, as well as health, happiness, safety, and well-being, to info@healthyhomecast.com. And now, back to Healthy Homecast. Thank you. Links to those events will be posted along with this episode. Last episode, we spoke with Kay and Kevin Brown. We have a whole new schedule coming up on the site, so please stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get rolling with Scott Appert and Caroline Bears. Good evening, or good day, or we actually aren't sure what time of the day this is going to be. Good evening. Please tell us who you are, what you do, and explain the details of how it works.
Okay, well, Scott would like me to start. I'm Caroline, and I'm a naturopathic doctor. I've been practicing for 10 years. About 2007, I decided to become a building biologist where I met Scott, and that was in Florida, Clearwater, Florida. I'm from Ontario originally, and so since then, I got into environmental medicine, and Scott and I became husband and wife, and we started BioHealthy Homes. And I'll let Scott talk about that and what we do.
Okay, thank you. I'm Scott Appert, and I've been a conventional remodeler and builder for about 25 years. And in 2006, I decided to become a building biologist and environmental consultant. And through that process, met Caroline. And since then, we have been focusing on creating healthy living and work environments. And how we do that is by, through a couple different processes. One is by inspecting existing buildings and through that process, determining indoor air quality issues, identifying mold, electromagnetic issues, which come from both electric and magnetic fields from the wiring in your home, as well as high-frequency radio wave issues that come from cell phone towers and Wi-Fi, cordless phones, and other sources like that that can either be from inside the home or from an outside source. And through the inspection, we basically go through the home of finding any of the elements that can be causing toxicity or health issues in the home, and then offer mitigation and solutions for that. As well as we also do new construction building, we do remodeling as well as consulting. So in all those aspects, we just use our building biology knowledge and try to help the client create a healthy living or workspace.
Great. So you did mention when you started it. Could you give us a little bit more insight onto why you switched from the more traditional methods of both of the things that you were doing to the more healthy direction that you're now in?
Speaking from a naturopathic medicine perspective, naturopaths are, and many alternative health practitioners are always looking for sources for why people aren't well. And the farther upstream we can look, the better. And I've had an interest in environmental medicine for a long time and knew that there was a lot of toxicity in the built environment, which is going to negatively affect our health, as Scott mentioned. And so I started to look around at different programs for what I could study to certify me in knowing a lot more information on that, and I found building biology and environmental consulting, and the school that teaches this is in Clearwater, Florida. It's called the Institute of Building Biology and Ecology, IB, or buildingbiology.net is the website. Question?
What was the question?
Oh, it was the insight as to the change of direction from more, you mentioned 25 years as more of a traditional, and now you've really embraced this healthy aspect of it.
It was mainly based on just a change in my own life direction. I was, I've had health issues at very various times in my life, and through that, it started changing my life. So I started eating organic and looking at alternative medicine and naturopaths, et cetera, as a way of changing my life. And through that process and getting to know more people, and I met some significant people in that field, specifically Dietrich Klinghardt. And just through my association with him, he had a healthy home seminar for docs and doctors and other his patients. And through that association and just my increased thirst for knowledge, and I started just looking at building and my life in a lot different way. And so once you kind of start down that path, it just, you know, if you're interested, then it just becomes this Pandora's box of learning and changing and just keep learning. And so that's basically what happened.
Yeah, great. And that's actually, hadn't mentioned, that's how Scott and I had met in the training that we had taken earlier in the year, the Healthy Homes Training for Building Professionals. And as not that we hadn't already known, but as we became more clearly ingrained into us, that we spend so much of our time indoors in either our own homes or other people's homes and buildings, and they're not all so healthy, and they can have tremendously adverse effects on ourselves in many, many ways.
Yeah, very true. I read a quote once that some of the most toxic air that you can breathe is inside built environments, not outside in some of the most polluted cities.
So who is your target clientele or the people that you serve with your business?
Well, I think a lot of the referrals actually come from doctors, medical doctors and naturopaths, that they have patients that are not getting well through conventional through the medicine or the supplements, and there's blockages, and we get referrals also with for mold issues because it comes up in the testing. So that's one source of our clients, and then we go in and try to create a basically healthy space for them to heal in.
Yeah, we're also looking at connecting with the real estate market, and have interest in working at creating perhaps a website that offers healthy homes for sale and healthy homes to rent, and establishing that because there's a huge need for that. And of course, when someone's looking to buy a house, they generally have it inspected structurally, but they don't have it inspected for health necessarily. And that's probably one of the most important things you could do when purchasing a house.
Yeah, I did an inspection for a local naturopath as he was wanting to buy a house, and just discovered, you know, some significant issues. They weren't so severe that he was still considering buying the house, but it was, you know, better for him to know the issues that were there instead of just buying it blindly and you know, and then being surprised at a later date with the mitigation and the costs that could be associated with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we all have varying degrees of challenges with that kind of stuff. For myself, you know, I've had people with such severe, you know, multiple chemical sensitivity disorder, I think is the official term for it, that even when we paint the outside of the house, they have to go stay somewhere else.
Wow.
So I can certainly understand it. So, yeah, so you did explain a few things there about the clientele and the people you serve. And can you go into a little bit of a deeper explanation of why this is so important and the benefit that it serves?
Sure. Well, why it's so important is that the way that we've been building houses and buildings since the Industrial Revolution is a very toxic method of building. And unfortunately, with the green housing movement and with the focus on energy efficiency, we're now building with the same toxic materials, and now we're sealing these buildings so that they're very energy efficient. And the off-gassing is continuing, which is making the indoor environment incredibly toxic in high concentrations without some sort of either mechanized system to bring fresh air in or mitigate the off-gassing that's going on inside the buildings themselves. And then we also have, you know, in the Pacific Northwest here, extreme amounts of moisture issues, which is also compounding the problem with a lot of mold. And houses aren't left to dry out properly before they're inhabited, and that creates a lot of moisture as well in the inside just because of occupant use. So there's just a whole host of problems that create health issues. And we have unfortunately added the whole electromagnetic frequency issue inside the built environment as well. We're frequently living close to a cell tower, which is going to negatively affect us on the inside of the building. But also we have Wi-Fi at home. We have cordless phones. And if we're living in a multi-unit plex, you know, we're being affected by our neighbors who have the same things. So, Scott, do you want to say?
Actually, we don't have Wi-Fi and stuff.
No, we don't have those things at home. And you don't need to live with those things. Why don't you talk about ways in which you can mitigate some of this stuff?
Well, there's many options. On the electromagnetic front, there are paints, actually, that are like carbon-based that block out radio frequencies, especially in a high impact area. So you're living near either near water, sometimes you get the bouncing effect from radar, or near cell phone towers or other sources that you have the high energy coming in. There is a window tinting that you can use. There's a film. There is a material you can make drapes out of. So there's a combination of areas that things you can do to lower those effects. Also for mold, you know, basically it's investigate, find it, get it out, and
stop the moisture from coming in.
Yeah, stop the moisture from coming
and
in.
And air sealing is also, do you want to come in?
Yeah, and then, you know, I found mold often would be in either a crawl space or an attic space, and so air sealing those planes can be very important, either the floor or the ceiling of the building, to keep the mold that is in there, especially crawl spaces. It's virtually impossible, basically, to keep mold from a crawl space. But by air sealing those planes, then you can keep that the dirty air, basically, whether it's mold or other toxins from coming into the home.
And then having some form of ventilation or circulation?
Oh, yeah, ventilation is very important.
Yeah.
I mean, it all has to be, like, figured. You know, you can't just do one thing without considering all the aspects of the home as a system.
Yeah, so essentially that's what building biology is looking at the built environment like a little ecosystem and making sure that you're setting it up such that it breathes properly and it ventilates properly, it exhausts properly, it does all these things to create a healthy indoor environment.
Yeah, one thing that we've heard by many people, but Dan Morris expresses so wonderfully is the idea that being energy efficient is by no means necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
And I think something that can't be. I think when we took that class, it was something that could not be stressed enough.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. In building biology, they talk about how if you focus on the health of the occupants first, frequently you end up creating a system that ends up being good for the earth as well. Just putting it in that priority.
Isn't that what sustainability is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we started the podcast out earlier this year, we kind of were always asking people what their ideas about healthy and sustainable and green and stuff. And we found that we didn't really need to ask anybody because it always came up in the interviews anyhow.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of people? I had not really known that much about this stuff before I had taken that class. Are there a lot of people doing this type of work? Or
no?
Not at all. I think we're the only building biology couple in North America.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
there's maybe 30 or 40 in North America building biologies.
Cool. Is there some type of a national like resource for somebody anywhere? I mean, we do have the ability to we know that we've get people in other countries and stuff listening to our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And of course many people in our area and nationally. Is there a national resource for people to just go and get information or potentially find somebody in their area that might have the kind of knowledge and do the kind of things that you guys do? Or is it so unique and that there's nothing like that out there?
No, the IBE, who where we took the courses and were certified, does have a website that lists the people around the country. And then we also, in the general area, we travel for for work. So, I mean, and I consult on projects throughout the country. And as my Caroline had mentioned earlier, Institute for Building Biology and Ecology does have a website that will list people.
And that was a thing in, you said Clearwater, Florida?
Yeah, so it's buildingbiology.net.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And you're always welcome to email us. So we're biohealthyhomes.com.
Yeah, and we'll have all the information, the contact information will be posted on the episode. And okay. Yeah, we generally like to ask people what makes you special or different from others in your field. But if you're the only ones, then...
You know, to answer that question, because there is there's a community of us in North America, having a builder, a conventional builder gone healthy, ecological, it's unique. And then I believe I'm the only naturopath in North America who's also a building biologist. So I think in that sense, and we're the only couple. So I think that's how we're a little different.
Yeah, no, that's really special. That is, that's really cool too. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. So what is the mission statement for yourselves and then for your business?
I'll start to just say that a big part of my personal mission statement, which is very much a Scott and I and BioHealthy Homes mission statement, is that we're into educating people, because it's not dissimilar from when I actually started naturopathic school, which was 14 years ago. Most people did not know what a naturopath was. And so here I am finding myself, and Scott and I find ourselves again in that position of needing to explain that there are issues in homes that are affecting your health and you can do something about it. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So I agree. I think educating is one of our main mission statements. I mean, that's what it takes to even create the demand, because if people don't know about it, and that's part of what we do, is we do educate. We speak at seminars. We've spoke at naturopathic associations, you know, conventions and other seminars put on by doctors, et cetera. So, and we do talks at real estate, you know, offices and things like that. We put on little educational talks. And so we're out there trying to educate, because it's really important. I mean, you know, especially, you know, adults are important, but especially with kids. So, you know, there's a lot of kids, a lot of times, you know, I've gone into homes where the electrical panel is in the kids' room, right? And so the electromagnetics coming off the panel, you know, can be very serious. Magnetic fields, it has been shown to cause cancer in certain instances. So it's very significant. You know, we've actually have a passion for helping people, because once people kind of figure it out or learn about it, then they're, you know, upset that A, they didn't know about it, and B, they might have been, you know, putting their child in some harm's way at some point. So,
mm-hmm. The other thing too, just to finish that up, is that we're really passionate about spreading the news that you can actually build from scratch a perfectly beautiful, healthy structure that can last 300, 400, 500 years. Mm. And Scott is training to be an EcoNest affiliate, which is timber frame, clay straw, clay fiber walls. They're beautiful structures. And so we're probably starting our first project next year.
Cool.
Yeah, we want to build our own eventually, have a retreat there wherever we end up, and it'll be really lovely.
Yeah, I think, let's see, it was probably around 13 or 14 years ago now, I went to this alternative energy and alternative building structure gathering in Lansing, Michigan. And it was really, I mean, I was this guy from Cleveland, Ohio, that happened to be hanging out with this gal that was extremely bright and everything, and, you know, a little bit hippier, dippier than I was at that point, but not that I was opposed to it, but we went together to this thing, and it was just amazing, because this guy from, like, living in the inner city of Cleveland, Ohio, was, like, seeing the straw bale housing, the cob housing.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they had a parade of all alternative energy vehicles.
Oh, really?
That was really cool. Like, that was the first time I'd say it was about 14, 13. You said about 13, 14 years ago is what I think you mentioned for your.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was around that time that I'd started seeing some of my first electric cars and stuff. And they actually had steam cars and stuff.
Really?
Wow. I mean, they actually can make cars run off of water. Huh. You know, but the one thing I'd liked about, you know, what you were starting to say when I asked you about the mission statement that I find is really important, those of us that are really, you know, that this is really important to us and are really passionate about, there really isn't much of a difference between our own personal, you know, vision and stuff for life and, as well as for our businesses. It's pretty much,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's pretty interchangeable. What is a healthy home assessment?
Well, healthy home assessment is when we come into a home and do an inspection, and we use meters and just gauge the levels of electromagnetics is a big one for us. But so, like I said earlier, we do a body voltage test in your sleeping area because your body will pick up the electric fields when you're sleeping. And so what our goal is to lower the body voltage as low as possible by adjusting the electrical panel by turning breakers off. So our body communicates at about 70 to 80 millivolts on a cellular level. And a lot of times we'll find body voltage in the 3,000 to 4,000 range, you know, up to the 8,000, which is like 8 volts going through your body when you're sleeping, which, you know, is disturbing and does allow your body to rest and to heal. And that's a major one. We also assess the electromagnetics from high frequency radio waves that are coming in or being generated from within the home. And also the magnetic fields. We do visual inspections for mold. Unless there is known or there's concern for mold, then we do mold air sampling or bulk sampling or an ERMI test, which is using a vacuum, and we vacuum up and get lab work done. We also do lab work for water as well as formaldehyde at times. And so we just go through the whole home and concentrate a lot on the sleeping area because that's such an important area where your body is most vulnerable. And then we basically come to some conclusions, offer mitigation options. We give a report with all the information that we found. And
Me being in the IT industry, I have to ask because I am surrounded by technology, radio waves, everything every day. What's been found out about like the health consequences of, you know, radio waves such as like the 802.11s, which would be Wi-Fi and cellular networks and whatnot?
Well, I'll start by commenting on that. Just to preface what I'm going to say, what is known is debatable, and the studies that have been done are challenging, let's just say, because you can't take a group of humans and subject them, you know. And so a lot of it has been animal studies and some cohort studies where they've been looking at groups of people over the course of 10 years. But it's also difficult nowadays because it's hard to find a group of people who aren't exposed and then do any kind of a comparative analysis. So I preface that. But essentially, the symptoms can be far and wide, and this is a challenge for naturopaths who are looking at a new emerging group of people who are coming out with electrosensitivities, they're called, or hyperelectrosensitivities. And a lot of groups in Europe are becoming very sensitive about this subject and recognizing electrosensitivity as an actual disease. Some governments are being more sort of proactive about it than others. So it's becoming a bit of a problem. And part of the problem is that it's difficult to diagnose this. People just know that they don't feel well when they are around certain frequencies, whether it's the high frequency or whether it's a low frequency. And it's different for everybody. Frequently, people who are unwell to begin with, say with multiple chemical sensitivities, even just allergies, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Lyme, you know, autism. I mean,
poor diet and health, perhaps.
Diet, yeah, absolutely. So you have pre-existing issues, and then you can become, it's compounded essentially by the electromagnetics. So it's examples would be itching, burning skin, eye issues. Arrhythmias, heart palpitations, are skyrocketing. I've had a lot of environmental medicine doctors talk about that no one knows why. Well, we wonder. I mean, it's, you know, the heart's an electrical organ. Mm. So insomnia, hormonal issues, allergies. I mean, the list is really long.
Quite a few that they're making into then.
Yeah.
So one thing that they have proven, so there has been a lot of studies that have been disputed, right, because the industry doesn't want that to, you know, it'd be quite a blow to the industry if it came out that, you know, high frequency radio waves cause cancer, you know, mm-hmm. exclusively, or that was a known fact. So there's been a lot of dispute about certain studies, but the studies that have been proven is that under high frequency radio waves, the red blood cells in your blood do clump. They actually clump together, become coagulated. In rats, that it opens up just like a 5-minute cellular phone call. They've been exposed. It opens up the blood-brain barrier, which is very significant.
It's significant because then if once the blood-brain barrier is open, anything that's in your blood at the time, whether it's alcohol or heavy metals or viruses or whatever, has direct access.
Which is not supposed to happen.
Gotcha.
And there's one other that I just can't think of right off the top of my head.
Another interesting study has been that noted that our cells communicate two ways, essentially snail mail, I'll call it, through chemical means and through wireless ways, essentially. So when you have a lot of other information being carried on information carrier waves, our bodies, our cells are confused, let's say. So it actually interrupts our own intercellular communication.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just to mention, the Bioinitiative report is a fantastic resource for people if they want further information on the studies that have been done and so on. It's called the Bioinitiative report.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And
great.
There's a recent book by Deborah Davis called Disconnect that's just came out. And it's a great book because she talks about all the studies that have happened, because there's been a lot of studies like with the Navy and Army, because they've used wireless for a long time, radar, things like that. So the disconnect, she just basically goes through the history of the studies and brings them up and talks about them. So it's a real informational book.
Wonderful.
I'd recommend.
Definitely probably take a look into those.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
You bet.
Every time I get into hearing one of these kinds of discussion, I want to like fold up the podcast and go live in the woods. it's sort of this kind of thing where we want to like educate and get information out, and you know, we're like sitting around on the internet with a bunch of electric equipment.
Yeah.
There's
a lot you can do with regards to keeping your lifestyle, but just modifying it a little bit. So in the home, you know, don't have wireless, or if you have wireless, at least shut it off at nighttime. Switch back to corded phones from the cordless phones. That's another really easy thing you can do. The last thing, if you're not going to have an inspection, is just pull your bed out about 12 to 18 inches away from the wall, which is the biggest source of why our body voltage is too high at nighttime.
I think that's about how far mine is pulled out.
Yeah, good. So, and open your windows to just at least reduce the concentrations of toxicity inside.
My windows are open at all. I mean, even in the winter, I open them up like partway just to keep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this is going to be our last electrically recorded podcast. So starting next week, we're going to be doing it by Morse code doesn't require electricity? We'll just kind of tap it out on the stone. So anybody that's in Burien over around 146 can listen to it.
We'll just start clapping into it.
And I'd have a tendency to think that we can do it through smoke signals, but I know that from the class that we took, we know that burning wood and stuff like that isn't very healthy either. So,
right.
So let's turn this around a little bit, and how about if you tell us how we create healthy living and work environments for ourselves. You mentioned some of them. Do you want to get into it a little bit deeper?
Yeah. I think the healthy living environments is much natural materials in your home, whether it be your drapes or your furniture or flooring, you know, no VOC paints.
No carpets.
Yeah, no carpets. Carpets are a prime collector for lots of dust and toxins, and take your shoes off when you walk in your home, you know, no outside shoes in the home because, you know, it's just bringing toxins in your home. Actually, it's, I think in our class, they said within three steps, 90% of all the dirt on your shoes was off. So if you have a walk-off mat, but if you leave your shoes at the front door, you just leave all that dirt outside. Definitely open windows, just a little bit, you know. In the winter, we have our windows are open all the time. I mean, just, you know, in the winter it's cold. We have just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference. And then, you know, just like Caroline mentioned, no cordless phones. Just eliminate all the things in your home. I mean, that's the simple approach we take is we can turn things off or we can just make small changes that will lead to just a healthier environment. Any change is good, you know, any improvement.
Another consideration is to just get rid of your microwave oven because that's a huge source of magnetic fields. Most people have the microwave right above their stove and they're standing at their stove and the microwave's going. But even with the microwave off, it's giving off frequently 30 to 40 milligauss of magnetic fields. And anything over 3 milligauss is a real problem. And so keeping the microwave unplugged is a way to mitigate that or just get it out of the house.
Well, and using the microwave, also the microwave radiation comes out. The door is not a sealed door. So if you're standing in front of it, you know, cooking and you have the microwave going off, you're being blasted by both magnetic fields and high-frequency radio waves at a pretty high level.
And as a naturopath, I imagine you do some nutritional type of educating and stuff too. You know, that pretty much takes care of anything healthy in the food when you like zap it like that anyhow.
Oh yeah, right.
That's
yeah,
debatable, it's, but I know that that's the case.
Yeah,
I mean,
they've
even
done some interesting studies, yeah.
So, well, we mentioned a bunch of them. What are, did you want to mention any other elements that are detrimental in the built environment?
Well, chemicals are a big one.
Mm. Yeah.
Things like, the plug-in, odor.
Yeah, Febreze and those
All those things are petrochemical-based odor, basically. You know, so basically you're putting chemicals out, dryer sheets, and all these things with odor, with smells in them, are basically petrochemical-based. Leaded candles. Well, you know, a lot of candles have lead in them, so you're aerating lead into your home.
Mm.
Clothes detergent that have strong chemicals in them, it's better to switch to a natural clothes detergent because when you put them on, then your body heats them up and they just off-gas. Dry cleaning. If you're going to dry clean any clothes, let them off-gas in your car or somewhere outside the building for like a good week before you really wear them. Clean your house with natural cleaners instead of the chemical-based one is another great tip. Lighting is great to use full spectrum if you can. Avoid the compact fluorescent bulbs, which are high in mercury. So when they break, it's a real problem. And also they give off high-frequency radiation. What else? You know, something Scott and I are playing around with a little bit is using clay paints on the inside of the house, which are – clay is a beautiful –
The American clay?
Yeah. Clay is beautiful. Clay actually will take toxins in the air. It's highly absorbent, of course, we know that, and chemically alter that toxin and excrete or give off a clean chemical that's not detrimental anymore. So clay's lovely. The houses that we want and or will be building, the wall systems are actually clay, 10 to 12 inches of clay fiber walls. So they modulate humidity as well. That's what clay does. So that if it gets too humid on the inside of the building, you're not going to have mold growth. It helps that, which
would be
beautiful.
Yeah, they absorb it. Then when it gets dry, it'll release it.
Yeah.
So it keeps it constant.
Great. Wow. Well, there's a lot of stuff there. Well, what we're going to do is take a very short break, and we'll be right back with BioHealthy Homes, BH2. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Healthy Homecast.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe.
Came to rest on the minefield, blessed with naive mind shield. Like a helmet, they would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little.
Okay, we're back. So once again, we're here on episode 17. We're really chugging along there. It's really exciting. And we've got Scott Appert and Caroline Bears from BioHealthyHomes.com, mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
And so we're going to get into the, this is a kind of a little bit of a different type of part of the interview here. Who or what has had the greatest impact on your life and has influenced your successes?
Well, Scott's going to, I know exactly who he's going to mention, so I'll let him take it away.
And then I want to see if Scott knows exactly who you're going to mention.
Oh, okay. I'll
think about that. Is that the case? Do you know who she's going to mention?
I know who he's going to mention.
Okay. Great. Go ahead.
Well, I think Dietrich Klinghardt has had a big impact on my life. He's a very inspirational guy. He's very knowledgeable. He's a medical doctor, but he practiced holistic medicine, and I just got to know him through becoming one of his patients and also studying with him. He puts on seminars and has lots of different. He does practice family constellation work. He developed his own muscle testing technique called automatic response testing technique, as well as many other aspects. So by becoming involved with him and then getting to know him personally, he's become one of my good friends. It's just led me down, and I was open to it, but, you know, led me down a path of exploration and just kind of opening up, which, you know, has allowed me to be very open to alternative ways of building and thinking about life. And yeah. And also, you know, we're still involved, and he relies on us to help his patients out too, because I mean he has a strong passion for his patients, and so, you know, when there's blockages in their lives for getting well, then having this element that not many doctors are educated that could be an element that would be, you know, blockage to healing. So it's very satisfying in that regard.
Yeah. Just to comment on that, I'm fairly passionate about the fact that if as a naturopath or any sort of an alternative complementary medical person, if you can remove the obstacle to cure, you get so much better results with someone. And frequently that which we find in the house, the home, the building environments, or the work environments is an obstacle to cure. So you can keep giving them supplements and medications and pills and so on. And, you know, they're only going to get marginally better. But as soon as you do this, it's like unplugging the drain and it just, everything changes.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've actually got a question around a little bit of that. First, but I want to ask you about your who's had the impact and who your influences have been in your life.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. That's a really challenging question for me. I thought I don't have a list long enough.
By the way, it doesn't have to be within the confines of your actual business or your livelihood. And another great thing about Healthy Homecast is like you don't have to have any answer, and any answer is just perfect.
There's too many to mention from a professional perspective, I think. But from a personal perspective, it's been my daughter, Emma. So she's just the most wonderful individual. A close friend of mine said that her mentor is Emma, actually. So she's quite an incredible person and very inspirational to be around. And so that's just on a personal note. Professionally, honestly, the list is a mile long.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, kids are pretty special. I just met Tony's daughter this evening, and she seems like a real doll.
Yeah.
Going back to what you were just mentioning, I came up with this question. What advice do you have for communicating these ideas and these ways of thinking to those that may not be, quote-unquote, open to it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Frequently we go into homes where one of the two people in the homes are open to it and the other one's not, actually. And by the end of the inspection, the one who's not is basically totally on board. So I think some people need to see it. They need to smell it, see it, hear it, touch it, you know, very kinesthetic.
Yeah, it's a science-based. I mean, we're using meters with you know, known parameters, and so that can be convincing. It's like we're just not coming in and, you know, just using our opinion or just without any backup. So the using meters and other known ways to show that these things exist can be very convincing.
So it must be kind of, have you actually seen, like, you know, the unconverted and stuff, unconvertible.
Oh yeah, we almost have pseudo smiles when we're walking in because we know it's just inevitable, and they're resisting. They're not going to be believers. It's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
What do you see as the main responsibility that we have to ourselves during our lifetime?
Wow. Well, my response would be that. Keep an eye out for your blocks and blind spots, because it's our responsibility to ourselves to identify them or to help others, like your closest people in your life, to help you look at that and grow. That would be my answer. But,
beautiful.
Yeah. Our responsibility to ourselves is to be open and to strive to grow and just be, you know, the best person that you are. And, you know, by discovering who you are, that's a lifelong process. I think you can become that.
Yeah, another comment is to claim responsibility. So, you know, when you hear this information, it becomes one's responsibility, really, ultimately. If you're responsible for anybody else to look into whether or not there is some legitimacy to this, and if there is, then to do something about it.
What do you see as our responsibility to all of the other life forms on our planet?
These aren't small questions.
They certainly are. Well, this is no small time podcast.
Yeah,
this
is big. Go big.
Well, I mean, the golden rule is do unto others. It's, you know, it's. I think our responsibility is to walk softly and, you know, and do no harm. So,
yeah.
As much as possible.
The first tenet of naturopathy is first do no harm.
So this is a little shout out to my friend Victoria for Scott mentioning the golden rule, because that's her, a good friend of mine, has been a lot of very helpful in getting this podcast off the ground. She's a real golden rule gal. So what groups or organizations do you proudly support or are affiliated with?
Well, the Building Biologists in North America, for sure. That's buildingbiology.net, wonderful organization whose mission is to educate people to become either building biology professionals or just general public education. Mm-hmm. Do you want to mention Cascadia?
Oh, Cascadia Green Building Council and the Living Building Challenge. EcoBuild, remembers EcoBuild.
Well, econest.com, is it, or .net? It's a .com.
It is .com, yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah, Cascadia and the Living Building Challenge is taking green building and pushing the envelope to set standards, well, to inspire people to create healthier structures that are also green. So, and that's really, it would be beautiful to see the healthy building folks and the green building folks get together and combine focuses, because I think that it's doable.
Well, they are getting together on Healthy Homecast. We've actually had, Nicole Starnes Taylor. She was one of the teachers at our class, and she talked about Living Building Challenge. And, of course, we had Doug Kennedy was talking about Living Building Challenge. And we're going to have the president from the Northwest Eco Building Guild on our show next month.
Oh, great.
So, really great. Cool.
Great
job.
So what is the best way for people to check out what you do or to contact you? And, we will post this information on our site, but why don't you give a shout out to that?
Biohealthyhomes.com. That's B-I-O, healthyhomes.com. And, you know, our phone numbers and email addresses, everything is on it. So it's plus information about what we do and what we provide, services we provide.
We're going to start webinars soon, and we maybe will get into doing some YouTube information.
We're going to have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, you've been very inspiring.
Well, I certainly didn't. I certainly didn't come up with the concept, but thank you. You're welcome. Great. Any upcoming events or specials or information that we can post on our site, which we will do, and we'll talk about that later when we put the episode on.
Okay.
Well, if anybody mentions this podcast, we'll give them $50 off an inspection.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And then thank you so much, Scott and Caroline from BioHealthy Homes. And we've got our ending question is, any wise advice, helpful hints, or last words that you want to leave everybody with?
Go ahead, Scott. Take it away. Keep reading. Visit our website, and don't be shy. Give us a call or email us if you have any questions. And we're very passionate about education. If you want us to come do a talk, we're more than happy to any group. So
sounds good.
Great.
And thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been, you know, we do these things, and I actually thought that I had you all figured out and kind of knew where everything was going to go. But I'll have to say that I was pleasantly surprised that I didn't have any, I had less of a clue about what we were going to talk about than I thought. So thank you. And on behalf of Tony Freiss and myself, Daryl Whalen, this has been Healthy Homecast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Homecast, brought to you by HealthyPainting.com. Please feel free to contact us with any comments, questions, or suggestions for upcoming show topics or guests. Call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@HealthyHomecast.com. Be sure to check back. New episodes coming soon. Smells like rain.